It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Charlie Pellett. Stocks are trading higher, heading for records. The Dow, the S&P, NASDAQ all advancing. S&P 500 index now at 2187, up 11 points, a gain of 0.5%. A batch of surprising earnings from Macy's to Zurich Insurance Group lifting global equities. Macy's, for example, surging 18.6% as it closes stores. Macy's up 632 to 4032. Right now we've got the Dow up 129 points to 18,625, a gain there of 0.7%, and NASDAQ surging 27 points up 0.5% to 5232. The 10-year down 22 30 seconds at yield 1.57%. Gold down 360 the ounce to 1343, a drop there of 0.3%. And crude oil up 4% today to $43.36 a barrel. I'm Charlie Pellett, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
You're listening to Taking Stock with Kathleen Hayes and Pim Fox on Bloomberg Radio.
Alibaba on fire today. It looks like Jack Ma's diversification strategy is starting to pay off as revenue at Alibaba Group Holding accelerates to the fastest since its record initial public offering. The share price up $5.34 right now, $92.66. And we're very happy to welcome back Brendan Hearn. He's Chief Investment Officer at Crane Shares. Alibaba is the number one position of Crane Shares CSI China Internet ETF, ticker symbol KWEB, just rated 5 stars from Morningstar. And as Brendan likes to remind us, over the last 3 years, they've beaten the S&P 500 by holding Chinese stocks. So welcome back.
Thank you, Kathleen.
So first of all, the news on Alibaba. What did we find out today?
Three key takeaways. Sum of the parts, companies buying back stock, and lastly, the cloud computing. So some of the parts, what I mean is Alibaba is breaking out the different divisions for the first time. We're able to apply a growth rate. Analysts are going to be upgrading this stock over the next several days, I believe, based on aggregating these different divisions. Secondarily was buying back stock over $5 billion. And lastly, their cloud computing is about to go profitable. 500,000 paying customers. And as we've seen with Amazon, with AWS, the ability to drive that, drive the stock potentially significantly higher.
Why the buying back stock? Why do that? I mean, if you're a young company and you're supposedly a tech company, why can't they invest that money in things that will grow in the future? Why buy back the stock? All it ends up doing is making the earnings look better mathematically because you take the shares out of circulation and stick them in the treasury.
That's a valid point, Pim. At the same time, the stock has been affected by broad China news. Last summer's onshore equity market rolled over. Alibaba has nothing to do with the Shanghai and Shenzhen stock exchanges, but the stock came down.
Yeah, but they got a lot to do with how business in China is doing.
Well, look at this past January where the implementation of the circuit breaker affected the onshore equity market, Shanghai, Shenzhen. Alibaba's stock got crushed. So you have investors. The Alibaba baby goes out when the China water gets thrown out. And Alibaba has nothing to do with the Chinese stock market.
Then why list there? So go ahead and just list here in the United States or list in London, list somewhere outside of China. I mean, there are a lot of ways to accomplish what you're talking about without buying. It just seems odd when you're talking about a growth company, a tech company.
Yeah.
Doesn't it kind of make you question, gee, don't they have anything better to do with that $5 billion?
Well, I think, IPO was priced at $68. It got up to 120. It came all the way back down below 70. The stock, you're talking about a company that's growing the top line at over 30%. I mean, here we grew 59% in one quarter. You know, long-term growth rate over 30%. This stock was just so inexpensive that I think the management bought it. I love that the company is buying back stock and that the CEO and the management team is on the same side of the table as me as an investor.
Talk to us about cloud computing. When I think people think of the competition and people trying to get in. You think of Microsoft. You think of Amazon. I don't know if Alibaba is the first name that comes to a lot of minds. What are they doing there, and why is that impressed analysts who you say are going to upgrade Alibaba now?
Yeah, no, certainly Alibaba is the primary business is in China, basically selling to Chinese companies themselves. And what they're looking to do is to take advantage of the very, very advanced kind of technology ecosystem in China, just as kind of Amazon is really, you know, competing with Microsoft and others and with their AWS division. Alibaba is basically bringing that playbook to China. They've had a great level of success in a short period of time, over 500,000 paying clients. It's about to start to hit an inflection point where it's going to be monetized, and the company guided that they believe they can have over a million paying customers within a year.
Alibaba is not just in the delivery business, right? They're not just a broker of products and services. They're trying to get into a lot of other businesses. Do you foresee a time when they're going to split those businesses off into separate units?
Well, I think to some degree, Ant Financial, which is the equivalent of, say, like a PayPal, I would argue it's beyond what PayPal. It's ubiquitous in China. It used to be called Alipay. And Ant Financial, Alibaba has a 38% ownership position. That's going to go public, I believe, in probably about a year's time. Listing exchange to be determined. But I do think Ant coming out is part of the value, the sum of the parts idea.
So in terms of growth, our Bloomberg news story points out that the big thing in China, but they've still got growth in users, big growth in users.
Yeah, I mean one of the statistics I love is the internet utilization rate here in the United States is nearly 90%. We went over 50% in 2002. China just went over 50% utilization. Amazon stock back in 2002, when the U.S. went over 50% utilization, was at $6. So unless you have a DeLorean out front, you're able to get into China internet and e-commerce companies at 50%, and that number is only going to go higher, and that's why we're quite bullish, and that's self-serving and highly biased. But certainly, as a shareholder myself, I'm a big believer in KWeb.
Now, the position that you hold in Alibaba is not a reflection of an actively managed decision-making process, correct?
That is correct.
So how do you foresee the role of Alibaba in an index when it is so dominant a position?
Well, Alibaba is certainly a big, big beneficiary of what we believe is really top-down policy, where China's economy is a barbell. You have export-driven manufacturing adversely affected by tepid global growth. At the same time, domestic consumption is doing very well in China. So while as much as I love Alibaba, I love Tencent. Tencent, the Facebook of China with their WeChat application. I love Ctrip. The Ctrip basically has a monopoly on online travel in China today. They've bought two of their largest, the number two and number three player. They have a monopoly. There's great, JD.com just reported a few days ago, great, great earnings. Sina and Weibo. Great earnings. That this is a top-down macro issue, and that's why we love the basket approach. We love diversifying.
Tell me about the top-down macro. Great. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's plenty of Chinese consumers, workers, people are making money. We know a large part of China is still a poor country. Now, we know they had a slowdown. We're going to get, I think, some big industrial production numbers out of China tonight.
Yes.
That's been pulling back a bit. So it's so fascinating, isn't it, that I guess you only need part of China's economy to do well to spur this kind of growth for a company like Alibaba. And you can only imagine what would happen if the rest of the country could kind of dig itself out of poverty.
Well, certainly China, you know, 1980, 20% of the population lived in cities. Today, it's 50%. That correlation is one between GDP per capita and China's urbanization. The movement of people into cities in China, proper housing, access to healthcare, education, the becoming a middle class. And it's their definition of middle class. So certainly, you know, there are liabilities on the China balance sheet, but at the same time, there's assets. And we believe that there are concerns around NPLs and banks and what's going to happen with overcapacity in coal, steel, and aluminum. Guess what? I don't want to hold them. I want to hold the part of China that is growing, and we get industrial production tonight. Kathleen, I'll be up on my terminal, but we also get retail sales, and retail sales has averaged 10% month. The monthly number for July, I think it's going to be
that's a year-over-year number.
Yep, year-over-year.
So pretty amazing. It was off of the month.
That's true. We love the retail sales, and in China, where your smartphone is your primary source of entertainment, and increasingly e-commerce. Cell phones in China are very, very big for a reason, because they spend a lot of time on them. And certainly we see more, as Alibaba demonstrated today, there's something going on in China. I think that narrative is very early in it being told.
Thank you very much for coming in and spending time with us. Brendan Ahern is the Chief Investment Officer for Crane Shares. It can be followed on Twitter at Crane Shares. That's with a K. And talking about Alibaba reporting results that exceeded analyst estimates. Some say it is a stellar report card, reporting quarterly results that beat estimates on all fronts. Sales during the last quarter grew 59%, the fastest growth since it was listed in New York in 2014. This is Taking Stock. I'm Pim Fox, along with my co-host Kathleen Hayes. This is Bloomberg.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.